Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2, Barbara Burns and Hope Layton interviewing Dr. Edwin Fisher, July 14, 1997. Dr. Fisher, would you please tell us your address?
5812 Solway Street, SOLWAY, Pittsburgh, PA.
Tell us something about
your early life when you were a kid. Tell us,
we want to know about your father, your mother, and your siblings.
Let's start with your father. Well, my mother and father were both born in this country.
What was his name?
Reuben Fisher. Mm-hmm. R-E-U-B-E-N, Reuben.
Okay.
He was born in Greenville, PA. But the family moved to Old Allegheny.
Where is Unionville?
No. What did I say?
Greenville.
Oh,
Greenville.
That's north.
I'm sorry.
That's up Reynolds, PA. One or the other. They're both together.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they moved to Pittsburgh. And his father had a shoe store in Federal Street. They lived up above the shoe store during this year. He was a very accomplished swimmer because the boys in Old Allegheny used to swim in the Allegheny River. So he became an exceedingly good swimmer. And he also was pretty tough because he had to defend himself in Old Allegheny. They never had many Jews there, so he was tough. And there's one little family story that's been passed on for years. One of his best friends was Earl Carroll, lived across the street on Federal Street. Now, do you know Earl Carroll?
He wasn't a singer.
Well, he was the Follies before Ziegfeld.
Okay.
In New York.
Earl Carroll's Follies.
Yes,
right.
It was Earl Carroll's Follies.
Mm-hmm.
His father had a saloon across the street from the...
He was a friend of your father?
Well, yeah, they were buddies.
Uh-huh.
They grew up together. And across the street from the shoe store. And Earl Carroll's father, they had a saloon.
Uh-huh.
And he passed away. At least they thought he passed away.
Oh.
So they had him upstairs, and they were having the wake downstairs in the saloon. So Earl Carroll asked my father, he said, Ruby, would you like to see my father? Well, my father never saw anybody. He said, sure, I'll see him. So they went upstairs, and they were milling around the coffin, and all of a sudden, Earl Carroll's father gets up. Well, that's, you know, when was that? 1910, something around there, 11? They didn't even bomb him every day. He probably had encephalitis. He lived for a year later, so he said. But he took off, ran across the street.
Your father.
Oh, sure. Ran across the street and knocked his father over, was giving somebody a change for a pair of shoes. Went upstairs and went under a bed. His father came after him. He said, what'd you do now? He says, Earl Carroll's father fell out of his coffin. He says, you must be drunk. I think you broke a window in Bob's and Buell raised the plate. Cat and dog. You put the stick in the cobblestone, hit it up in the air, and whack it. They used to break the windows in Bob's and Buell's.
Which I know.
Department store. Sure, I used to go there when I was a kid. My mother used to take it. So that was one thing. That was a great story. He was a very tough guy. He wasn't very big, but he was tough. Indeed, after when he grew up, his father then went to Wholesale Produce. It was Joseph Fisher and Sons.
On the strip?
On the strip,
uh-huh.
Yeah. And my dad was there for a little while with his two brothers, but he went on his own.
Uh-huh.
And when any of the Jewish merchants would get in trouble down there, they would always say, get Ruby Fisher.
Yeah.
And the one scenario punctuating that, fortifying that, is that he did once, and he hit a guy so hard that he broke his skull, and the guy was from the Black Hand. That was the early mafia. So he had to pay $1,000. They had cops around the... I wasn't born there, but my brother. They had cops around the house, watching the house for my brother. Yeah.
That was a lot of money.
$1,000.
A lot of money.
But of course, in those days, they were making money.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. It would be 70 years ago, 74 years ago, 75 years ago. You figure it out.
That would be the early part of the 1900s.
Yeah, 1900s, first decade, or thereabouts. I know.
Around 1920.
1720, somewhere in there,
okay.
Yeah. I wasn't born yet. I was born 23.
Okay. What is your birthday, Dr. Fisher?
September 2nd, 23.
Okay. 1923.
So, that was that story.
Uh-huh.
So he was tough. He was, a very honest person. I remember during the, World War II,
mm-hmm.
and he was selling produce, and that was a commodity that was in great demand,
mm-hmm.
and you could almost name it price, even though they had price control. Interestingly enough, one of his, some distant relative, was on the the board of OPC, Office of Price Control, and said, oh, really, go ahead, sell with whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
He said, never. Never. You could have made a lot of money to get it. Because he played according to the rule.
That's a lovely thing for you to remember.
Yeah. And he was a great swimmer, as I said. He was cited for saving somebody's life in the natatorium. And he also, he was just married, and he was coming home. They lived, my mother and father lived with my mother's parents. And he was coming home to the car barn up near the reservoir.
Mm-hmm.
And we slipped it in the car barn,
mm-hmm.
the streetcar. And he got out of the streetcar, he was going down Euclid. They lived on Euclid Avenue. So all these people milling around the reservoir, Highland Park Reservoir. He ran over and he said, what's going on here? What's going on up there? He was always for action. And they said, oh, a little boy went in for a ball. So he took his hat off, shoes off, get one of those sailor hats, straw hat, and dove in, pulled the kid out at the bottom of the reservoir, but he was dead. Now that kid, I don't know if you knew the Ackerman's. They used to have a little grocery store on Murray Avenue. And there's a girl that's Jean Schwartz is her name. Elliot and Jean Schwartz.
Oh, I know Elliot and Jean Schwartz.
That was her uncle.
Is that right?
Sure.
Is that right? The child that died.
The one who went in and pulled out.
Is that right?
Drowned.
Oh, my.
Pulled him out. There.
Oh, isn't it
that,
small?
That reservoir is deep.
That is
so
a
he
small
was a great, great swimmer.
Oh, he was. Okay.
He always wanted things in rotation. Everything has to be done in rotation.
Orderly.
Everything. Simple.
Yeah, he's an orderly man.
Simple and orderly.
Okay.
Of course, you know, the hours he kept were awful. So he never really, he came home from working. He, you know, he'd get up at 2 o'clock in the morning,
yeah.
and work till 12 or 1 or 2, and come home 3 or 4 in the afternoon. He'd be sleeping. So he didn't have that much time with us.
Right.
Of course, then my mother was the... years ago. So that was my father.
Let me ask you a little bit about his Jewish background.
Wait 1 minute.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he just went to high school. He was a high school graduate, Allegheny
right.
High School.
Okay.
His Jewish background was relatively strict. Indeed, his father, it's another interesting story, came to this country as a young fellow, maybe 14 or 15 years old, from Lithuania.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a masterful horseman.
Oh, really?
And indeed, he went, when he landed in New York, he asked where all the horses were, and it said in Kansas. He went to Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's Barry Goldwater went to all these guys. Not Barry, but his his father.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to Kansas and he made a lot of money dealing with horses. He was a horse trader and a horse rider and a horse breaker.
He knew about horses.
He knew horses very well. But you asked how Jewish. But there were no Jewish girls there, and he had to have a Jewish girl to marry. So he came back, he had relatives in New York, he said, go to Pittsburgh, and a lot of Jewish girls in Pittsburgh. So he went to Pittsburgh, and that's how he met my family.
Is that right?
So, that you see, he was Jewish. He didn't look Jewish, and my father didn't look Jewish.
Uh-huh.
My father looked more Irish than people in Ireland.
Okay.
And his father didn't. They were both fair complected, steel blue eyes,
mm-hmm.
and very small features.
Mm-hmm. Fine teacher.
Yes, and my grandpa, he never spoke with an accent.
Exactly.
Yeah, he was pretty good at that. Of course, my parents were born there, so they didn't have
that. How about religious observance?
Were they observant? Oh, yeah, they spoke along with Paul Zellig, which was the Orthodox.
That's right.
But then my father became one of the early founding members of Beth Shalom.
Is that
where
right?
I remember going to Beth Shalom, used to be on 4th Street up above the Chrysler.
Right? I didn't know that.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Sure.
So
that was,
okay.
But he wasn't really that tough on us.
Uh-huh.
Although he went to Hebrew school,
uh-huh.
Sunday school,
uh-huh.
first up in that school.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. But he was, he had served. My father
served. He did.
Oh,
did
he
keep
home all day? Well, not strictly.
Kosher. I mean,
not strictly kosher.
He read my lips.
I have kosher, but
uh-huh.
I love bacon.
Okay.
So everything was kosher except my bacon. And then I had a...
you have a bacon pan.
Yes, I had a bacon pan.
Uh-huh.
It was a metal pan that had all kinds of animals on it, particularly dogs.
Uh-huh.
And doggy, and... Whenever I want bacon, I would say doggy. I called bacon doggy for years because of the bacon pan.
On the pan.
Yeah, that was interesting. Now, the one who was enamored by that story, the two guys who were great physicians of our time, one was Rupert Turnbull, who was a dear friend of mine from Cleveland Clinic. He was the greatest colorectal surgeon in the world at the Cleveland Clinic. And Don Effler, who was a thoracic surgeon, did the first coronary bypass.
Is that right? In New Orleans?
In
the world.
At Cleveland Clinic. They were, I had training when I was on the staff at Cleveland Clinic. And that's how I knew them. We were all pretty young in those days. So they used to love, we'd go to Pittsburgh, or through Pittsburgh, and we'd always stop. My mother would cook dinner for us. And she would tell them all stories about the dog, you know, and they would. They would give me the weeks.
How about your mom?
Well,
you tell us her name and tell us about her.
Anna Miller, and she was born in this country. She was the oldest of five kids, and she graduated Central High School.
Where was that?
That's Old Fifth Avenue.
Okay.
Before Fifth Avenue, called Central High School.
Mm-hmm. My mother graduated.
I'm sure she graduated something. So, and she went to business school. And actually, she was working in the produce yard when she met my father. She was working in the produce yard.
Where did she live?
We lived first.
I mean your mother
as a young woman. I know they lived in East Liberty, next to Gene Kelly, who also lived on East Liberty.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Next to Gene Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she, even when she was 89 years old, when she died, she was probably one of the best read. She read the Bible, maybe the Old Testament, four or five times. She could quote you anything you wanted in the Old Testament. And she was for scholarship. She made sure that we didn't falter along those lines. She had her uncle, which was my grandmother's. Well, my grandmother, I should tell you a little bit about her on my mother's side.
Mm-hmm.
She was a polylinguist. she could speak four or five languages.
What was her
without
name?
Without an accent.
What was her name?
Pauline.
Pauline Miller.
Yeah, her maiden name is Rogoff.
Pauline Rogoff Miller.
Her half-brother
was
a great scientist.
Yes, that's right.
Medical scientist. He was a physiologist at the University of Chicago, Western Reserve, and he came to Pitt.
Is that right?
Yeah. And that's where we got a little bit of the medical stimulus to get into medicine. But she could speak. See, she lived in Riga. She was brought up in Riga.
Mm-hmm.
And that used to, whoever paid the taxes or the money to run the social amenities for a city like Riga or Poland, you know, Germans controlled Poland, the French controlled Poland, the Austrians, the Russians,
right.
They all took a crack at it. So if they paid for the upkeep of the place. So she could speak Polish, Russian, German, Yiddish, and English without an accent.
That's a remarkable achievement.
Yeah, she was a polylingual girl wonder.
She lived to be 99.
99 and three quarters. That's a B plus. She just couldn't make 100.
It's like two pluses.
A minus.
Plus,
yeah.
Plus.
But that's what she was. And she had a colony before the day she died. So now her husband, my grandfather on that side, he worked for the Pennsylvania Railroad. As did an aunt of mine. She was a head legal secretary at Pennsylvania Railroad. She was the only good girl in the whole goddamn outfit.
I believe it.
They didn't hire Jews in those days.
You have good genes, Doctor.
Well, I don't know. But anyway, so he worked at Pennsylvania Railroad. He was checker in the boxcars. Before he started out working, I'm going to tell you another thing.
What was his name?
Abraham. Abraham Davis.
Okay.
We named one of our kids, one of the girls, Abby Davis.
That's
a nice name. But anyway, he also was a conductor of a horse-drawn, see, streetcars in those days were horse-drawn.
That's right.
I remember they used to go to Bury Avenue horse-drawn very early. I was very young. Yeah.
Exactly.
Horse-drawn.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And they used to tell stories about how they used to gather around the dining table at night. He'd get all these nickels. It was nickel ready. Pour out all these nickels. He'd say, well, one for them, one for me, one for them, one for me. Streetcar company.
Uh-huh.
And then he left that and he got a job at the
railroad.
Pennsylvania Railroad. Pittsburgh. He used to get up early and go to so he and my dad, they were buddies because they'd get up early in the morning and go together.
Mm-hmm.
They used to swim in all their nice pool. He's opened in the summer. They would swim.
Exactly.
My dad was a great swimmer. My grandfather was pretty good. Now, my grandfather had a younger brother, Meyer Miller. He was really good. Redhead. See, there was some hanky-panky going on there. Both sides of the family. He was a volunteer. He was one of the aides to Teddy Roosevelt in the Spanish-American War.
Really?
That was an all-volunteer army.
Exactly.
He was, I think there were only two Jews in the city of Pittsburgh who volunteered. One was Meyer Miller. And he developed malaria in the Philippines, or in Cuba, wherever the hell they were. I forget, Puerto Rico.
San Juan Hill, I know
San
that.
Juan Hill. He was in San Juan Hill. He got malaria and he got a pension for the rest of his life.
Uh-huh.
A big pension. Plus, he was a good insurance salesman.
Uh-huh.
Big BSB. He liked the BSB. But he cut a hell of a figure. Yeah, Meyer Miller, he was one of the few Jewish volunteers.
That's an amazing experience. It really is.
Yeah. And none of them had an accent. None of my family, the great uncles, great aunts, I can't remember one of them.
Is that right?
That had any kind of an accent. They all spoke American English.
They had a great facility for languages.
They all had some kind of facility. Even my grandmother on my father's side, who I don't
Did we get her name?
Sarah.
Sarah.
I don't remember much of her accomplishments.
Sarah Fisher.
She was clean. She was clean.
Immaculate.
Oh, she was back cleaner. Oh, God. In fact, some of my daughters, I saw you're just like your great-grandmother Fisher.
How about your mother's home? How did they observe Jewishness? Did they belong belonged to which synagogue, and
I don't think they were that much into it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Although my mother, of course, was into it. Whether it was because of my father or
mm-hmm.
because she knew that something should have been done, but it never was done.
Mm-hmm.
A year ago, we went to all the rituals and
mm-hmm.
everything.
In your own home, with your dad and your mom, and do you have other siblings other than your brother?
No.
You're just the two of you. Did you observe the holiday? How would you observe the holiday?
We'd go to shul, but didn't go very much aside from that.
Family dinners or that kind of thing?
The big deal was at my mother's mother's place.
Uh-huh.
After breaking the fast.
You would break the fast.
Oh, that was great because they came from, my whole family came.
That's
from
right.
My grandma.
Okay. So you got together as a
best
family.
Chicken salad I ever ate, and I hate chicken salad.
Is that right? But
yeah.
That was good?
Yeah, because you're hungry. I used to try to fast. I couldn't make it all the time. I used to take my own
nibble
exemption. Exemption from it.
Did your mother light
dispensation
Friday night candles or any
no,
of that? No, we didn't have that. And
no.
Did you have a kosher home except for the bacon pan, right?
Yeah, it was relatively kosher.
Oh, because she bought kosher.
But then later
meat.
On,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, later on, she was doing some other stuff. But mostly kosher meat, that's right. Meat was kosher. Awful.
Terrible.
Kosher meat. Terrible.
Hmm. And
she was a good cook.
Your mother?
Outstanding. So was her mother. But my mother was outstanding.
Exactly.
Bake, cook, anything you want.
Everything was delicious.
Yeah. And a good piano player, she is.
Oh.
We didn't have any money, but we had a big baby grand piano.
Is that right?
Yeah. And then my brother, he took lessons. They gave my brother lessons. Then it came my turn. I said, after watching him, forget it.
He wouldn't do it.
I'm sorry, I never did. Yet it's very interesting. I have two of my grandsons. One of them plays piano, the other plays piano, trumpet, and drum. Little kid, 13, trying to get her a mitzvah.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Musical.
Oh, yeah.
That'll,
it comes from his father's side, not my side.
You know what? That'll give him pleasure always.
Philadelphia's part of Philadelphia. All those Jewish kids from Philadelphia for some kind of instrument, singing, Eddie Fisher, this guy, that guy. All his father, my son-in-law's father, played in the band too. He's a drummer
right?
And this. And my son-in-law played flute, clarinet, and saxophone. He was the leader of the Syracuse Swing Band, which is national champion.
Exactly.
Oh, he can play.
Oh, that's a great gift.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful gift.
So anyway.
So you were bar mitzvah. Were you confirmed?
Yes.
You had the whole,
well,
not, you went the whole nine years.
My brother and I. Okay.
All
the kids in our neighborhood did that.
Where did you live? Did you live on
Sherbrooke Street.
Okay.
Now, Sherbrooke Street, there were only 3-4 houses.
Is that right?
Down at the corner was Everson.
What?
Our house.
Alderson, did you say?
Everson.
Everson.
The people.
Oh, the Everson.
Playing.
Oh, okay.
See, Sherbrooke goes down like empties into Alderdice.
That's right.
You know where Sherbrooke is.
I know where Sherbrooke. Yeah.
The parallel.
Right.
Well, we went down. We lived in the middle. Everson's lived at the Bandon Childs, or somebody lived up the street. There were no other houses.
Exactly.
Believe me, and I remember when Alderdice was just a field.
Exactly.
That was a forest.
Uh-huh.
And then there were farms. There was a big farm between Sherbrooke and Eldridge. The Squatiris was their name.
Oh, they had kids at Alderdice.
Oh, they had, later on.
Eleanor Squatiri.
Well, that's right,
yeah.
Because that's who. They had
exactly.
A place there was a farm. Our backyard on Sherbrooke, you know, we had plum trees, cherry trees,
exactly.
The whole thing.
That must
it was
have been
wonderful.
A great place to grow.
Oh, but then it all grew up. But still, there was kids coming out of your ears.
Uh-huh.
We used to play football on the street, basketball. Basketball was big.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, basketball was big. We'd play down where the street light was.
Uh-huh.
We could play all night.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we used to play all
night.
It
sounds really wonderful. Where did you go to elementary school?
Colfax.
Okay.
That was a good school.
What? Was Dr. Pregler? No.
No, it was a Miss Shepherd.
Miss Shepherd.
She was terrible. But she was we had good teachers.
Did you?
Yeah, very good. Miss Truby, I had a teacher in the fourth grade that set me off. Although, I was good in first grade. And couldn't believe my mother and father went to parent-teacher's night. I was the first or second grade. And they were described as this great little kid. My mother and father said, "You have been the wrong kid," because I was mischievous.
Real holy terror.
Oh, but when I got to school, it was like a conversion, you know? Like I was a choir boy. They couldn't believe it. But I loved school.
Did you?
I don't know why. I just loved it. Because I guess it came relatively easy. So I like, you always like things that are easy. And I remember the Book of Knowledge. Oh, we always had the Book of Knowledge. Mm-hmm. And they had little quizzes in there and things. I used to work on those. Still, it was first, second, third grade, as soon as I could read. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess you did that all very quickly, the reading and all.
And then I went to Alderdice.
It's in the seventh grade.
It's seventh grade, right? Junior mm-hmm. high school, and then senior high school.
Before we get into that, we're already at the end of this side of the tape.
Okay.